The Bible reading for the sermon is that which was just read, with special emphasis on Jesus Christ as the everlasting yes. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for the faith that you have created within us, and for the promise that has been fulfilled in Jesus and is continually being fulfilled in our lives. We pray now that you will confirm us in this faith, that you will always confirm us in this faith, that you will anoint us in that trusting relationship to Jesus and his resurrection that provide for us our destiny in the kingdom of heaven he has prepared for us. And we beg, Lord God, that you will seal us with the security of your Holy Spirit present in our hearts, that we know that your promise is real and true, to which we say, Amen. Corinth was a challenge to the early church, big harbor-like commercial city, known in a civilized world with a stereotype of prostitutes and drunkards. And our growing big cities are likewise challenges to the security of our church work, because in our time we have, with the sexual immorality, AIDS, and in addition to alcoholism, we have cocaine. Pastor asked me, how is this possible? How do you interpret this? I asked one of our seminarians who is working in a rehabilitation of drug addicts here in Fort Wayne, how do you interpret this? Oh, he said, that's easy to understand how they get hooked on this path to self-destruction. The drug dealers give them their first high free, for nothing. And in a market economy, what could be more appealing than free energy on the highway to hell? And in this challenging situation, St. Paul provides us hope, a positive message, a great affirmation. God secures us in our mission. Mission in the sense that we have a meaningful call from him to serve in his kingdom. First of all, he says, God is faithful. The Corinthians challenged the fact that he was an apostle. They said, oh, we got these so-called apostles in quotation marks, false prophets of false messiahs. And against that, St. Paul affirms the fact that God has called him. In fact, he even loses a few points in the beginning of this argument. He repeats this word, boulomenos. It was my desire that I would come through Corinth and visit you on my way to Macedonia. Then coming back, I would visit you again. And that's what they wanted. They wanted the security of the visitation of the missionary pastor. But that's not what happened. He refers then to God's will, the same word, the determination of God of what will happen. And then what happens is that he writes this letter in which God is faithful. Your faith relationship to God is most important. Timothy, Silvanus, and I have preached that. It's not yes and no, as if I'm shallow. This is no laughing matter. I've risked my life, he tells them later. I've been in great dangers. The important thing is I put you into the hands of God, and he's faithful. We were starting a mission about 210 miles from here, and seminarians and your wives were helping. Before the first service on Saturday, we drove up, and one of the seminarians, his wife, went along that night to steering committee, and we met. And the anxiety of this new mission could be felt. Hey, you're starting this mission? You're our leaders? You're 210 miles away? Well, this one woman said, we couldn't even make an old established congregation go. How can we start this mission? She says, I'm scared. And that's what the Corinthians are saying. They're anxious. Why aren't you visiting us? Why aren't you helping us? And then that night, Saturday night, we planned for our first worship service on Sunday. What would be the name of the new mission? They gave their names. The seminarian's wife said, oh, it should be Gloria Dei. I would suggest that. So that was put on the list. The next day, they voted for that. God is faithful. To God be the glory. He establishes our coming together in an ecclesia, in a church, in a mission, in our individual vocations, in that mission. God gives us the security. And furthermore, he says in this text, you know, it's a wonderful thing. This is read to other churches. It's being read for us today as we face our insecurities. He says, God fulfills his promises in Jesus Christ. All of the promises. He works through us against the obstacles. During the last 24 hours, I've been working where I'm told is the largest non-harbor city in the United States. Down Highway 69, about 125 miles in the inner city of Indianapolis. And that's a challenge. How do you bring the security of the gospel to these people? While I was down there, there was an elderly 78-year-old woman who went to the hairdresser. She, it says in the newspaper account of what happened, felt insecure in the threat of the earthquake. Hairdressers then told me, one told me this weekend, people when they're insecure and depressed will come to the hairdresser. For whatever her motivation, she got her hairdo and she came out onto the street, and around the corner come two thugs in their car, jump out, grab her purse and shoot her twice in the chest and kill her. Former organist in her church. From all directions, these no's, no, no, the no which threaten our human existence. Whether it's the nature of the earthquake, the floods, the tornadoes, the wars of how people use their history, or how they use their freedom for the cocaine and the violence that's attached with it to get it by shooting this elderly woman to get her purse. In face of all of those no's, God is working through this mission in the inner city. Schools number 75, room 212. One of the laymen is witnessing to this fellow who's working under his car. I shot a movie of that street yesterday, documenting the history of the development of the mission. I said, where did this happen? He says, right there. And he pointed to it. And I put the camera lens on it. The wife and the little children were coming to the mission Sunday school and to the worship services. The husband hadn't been coming. She wanted her children baptized. They were of a baptism kind of Anabaptist background. So this layman thought, we will call on this man. So he tells me about it. He says, I had my nice suit on. But there that fellow was out on the street working in his old rusty muffler under the car, and I crawl under the car with my nice suit on, and I'm talking to him. I say, say, your children have been coming to our Sunday school. They're wonderful children. And the fellow says, why, you're the first one that ever said anything good about my children. They've always been criticized. You know, they've been kicking the soccer balls through the picture windows and everything like that. I'm glad that you like them there in the Sunday school, and I favor that they'll be baptized, and I'll be there too. You see, everything is no, destruction, misery, suffering, but the everlasting yes comes through Jesus Christ. Maybe in a rust on a dirty street of the inner city down Route 169. And third, he says, God confirms us with all of these no's that are coming at us. All of the negations of the satanic forces. And he's saying, yes, yes, in our counseling, in our teaching, that's what these people wanted. A missionary leader there, a pastor who would be a shepherd to the flock, with all of their questions, their confusions, and the negative questions that come to confuse us. There was an elderly lady going through town some time ago. Her son's a pastor. He called me up. He says, hey, would you talk to my mother? She gets up and says, hello, yeah. Well, she said, Dr. Zietlow, do I have to be baptized again? She'd been in a big city over east, and some Anabaptist relative is saying, oh, you didn't have enough water, and you weren't baptized at the right age. And I know, I said, Lena, you don't have to be baptized again. It's God who does it. That's what this text is saying. Look, it's not this stuff, these confusions you're bringing at me. It's God who is faithful. It's God who fulfills the promises. It's God who confirms objectively in the baptism. It's God who does it. And as Luther interpreted it, we are buried with Christ in baptism, in his death, in our baptism. We rise again in our union with him in his sufferings. We are born anew every day with all of these negations coming at us. No, Lena. Then I had had her husband's funeral about a decade ago. And about 8 years after she calls me, I get a call. She has been sick and she has died. Would you have her funeral? Okay. Well, her confirmation text is from 1 Corinthians. Same kind of message. It says in there, her verse was, God is faithful. No, you don't have to be baptized again. God is faithful. Now you have faced death. Now you're in experience of grief with the death of your husband. Now you have the fear of death. God is faithful until the telos, to the end. God is faithful to the Greek word apocalypse. And finally, it says, and he anoints us, God, this faithful God, anoints us to be fellow heirs with his son in the kingdom of heaven, to face the greatest stress that we ever have as human beings, the fear of death, the grief in face of death. He seals us, it says, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that security, arabon, the down payment of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of our hearts and our conscience. Conscience means that, to know with. We know that this is the truth, and this is real, because it's right in there, down under the car, in the dust, and in the death of the hospital, where one of our 17-year-old members of our mission is in a torrential rain, driving young people home from high school. He gets out on the highway in a truck, hydroplanes can't stop, and smashes the car, and they're hospitalized. One boy's in a coma. The children, young people in high school, the teenagers are in great anxiety. They come and visit in the hospital. One of the laymen from our mission comes to tell those who are conscious, we are praying for you in our mission. The young people leave their high school homecoming activities. About 100 of them come into the corridor, visit. And this layman sees their high level of anxiety, takes them to the prayer room of the hospital, and there encounters the intensity of that anxiety. 17-year-old girl, 2 weeks before, her father was on that street, struck by an automobile, hospitalized, died here by this room in this hospital. She's hyperventilating, panic, anxiety attack. The layman takes these kind of people to the prayer room, to the relationship to the God who is faithful, who is the everlasting yes in Jesus Christ, prays with them, takes her outside for some fresh air so she doesn't collapse. And later, these young people come to the mission church. The last one to come was the one who healed, came out of his coma. Their stitches are taken out, they're healed, and they come to thank the mission for praying for them. And so, we too, as Paul says in his first account in 1 Corinthians, to his letter to the Corinthians in the 15th chapter, we too come today in our worship to thank him for this everlasting yes and promise and confirmation and anointing and sealing. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.